Hallelujah. I know a lot of us had to travel from different places to be here. You are welcome in the name of Jesus. I also know that so many other people want to be in this facility, but unfortunately, we are out of slots, possible slots. And that's a good problem. That's a good problem. If you're affected, I guess there's an overflow this way. I hope it's not yet filled up. All right, so we still have an overflow on the other side, on the right flank. You may wish to find your way into that hall. Is fully equipped to ensure that you fully participate in the service. God bless you in the name of Jesus. My nephew is supposed to be here. I don't know if... Okay. Oh, he's the giant at the back. You're welcome. Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. And we ask that it might please you to open your heart to us. Such things that you can only reveal. Such things that cannot be learnt. Such things that no mortal can teach. That it might please you to unveil it from the depth of your being. So that we can become wise by the Holy Spirit. And understand the emphasis for this time. And how to take our journey in the pilgrimage of destiny. Oh Lord, come amidst us and make unto yourself a great name. Be enlarged and be magnified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We want to do Bible study for a few minutes. And because of the theme of the conference is unveiling an emphasis that will determine our direction for the deliverables of God. So you want to turn with me where the theme of the conference is So Send I You. It's an initiative of equipment with a view of dispatching functionaries that will have the capacity to represent Jesus in every sphere of human endeavor. Hallelujah. I can't hear you. I say hallelujah. All right. Maybe because of your response, which is weak, I will change my text to the book of Acts, chapter 1. I will change my text for the night because your response is weak. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1. The former treatise, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times all the seasons which the Father has put it in his own power. I guess verse 8 will be our emphasis for the night, but can we read that together? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. When Jesus came into this world, his objective was to satisfy the claims of divine justice. Humankind, in an act of rebellion, has pitched itself against the purposes, the plan, and the will of God. They have abused the sovereignty and the authority of God. And the implication of that act was what resulted in what we call the fall of man. And according to divine justice, what will be required to redeem man will be a sacrifice. So Jesus came into this world to satisfy the claims of divine justice. How I wish we had the time to talk about the justice system of heaven. Then you will understand how that it was only Jesus that had the capacity to stand in the gap for humankind. And his activity as a savior and every aspect of the requirement that he had to fulfill was adequately depicted in the book of Luke, where he was referred to as the Son of Man. Because in the book of Matthew, he's referred to as the King. If you check your Bible in the book of Matthew, you'll find one phrase 33 times indicative of the spirit of the book of Matthew. And that phrase is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus in the book of Matthew comes as a king. And the book of Matthew happens to be the book of the kingdom. The import, the purpose of the book of Matthew is to reveal to us how that people that are under the role, the rule, and the dominion of God from his throne in the third heavens order their lives upon the face of the earth, irrespective of generation, age, irrespective of changes in society, irrespective of social engineering. There is a prescription as to how believers are supposed to relate with unbelievers, relate with money, relate with seduction, relate with the things that the age throws at you, such believers that are under the rule of heaven. Are you still with me? Yes. You are not with me. Are you here?
Yes.
Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm seeing that you are drifting. Some of you are still at the shopping mall. I'm trying to bring you here this evening. There is a difference between you accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and experiencing the miracle of regeneration and you operating under the government of God. You see, the purpose of God, as revealed in the book of Genesis, was not salvation. And that was why there was no silver in the Garden of Eden. Silver. When you see Paul's periodic table in the New Testament, you will find that silver was added. But initially, in the book of Genesis, you only find gold and precious stones. No silver. Because God did not intend us to fall in the first place. Are you with me?
Yes.
You are with me?
Yes.
All right. So the purpose of God and what God was offering Adam was the kingdom, that he will become an agency through which God's dominion that is domiciled in the third heavens can find expression upon the face of the earth. Whereas God is the monarch of the entire universe, Adam, according to the designation of God, was supposed to function as the zenith of the physical creation and as the conduit through which the government of God will come into the earth. Are you with me?
Yes.
According to the royal decree in the book of Psalms 115 verse 16, if we have it on the screen, it will do us a lot of good. Stay with me. We want to teach. You know, we want to explore the mind of God. We want to explore the purposes of God through the word of God. We want to secure what exactly is God intending to say to us during the course of this conference? What equipment does he want to bring to us so that we can be competent in prosecuting his mission upon the face of the earth. Are you here?
Yes.
Now, that's the royal decree, Psalms 115, verse 16. And before I explain what the royal decree means, I need to tell you a little bit about our God. Our God is such a personality that rules not by strength, brute strength, he rules by authority. And when he stepped into the creative mode, most of you can bear witness that he shows up on the scene and he makes a decree, let there be light. And there was light. The first time words were used in the Bible was not for communication. Words were used the first time in the Bible for creation. Because God was using it as an agency through which his authority can be made manifest. The God that we speak about, who is the God of the Bible, happens to be a personality that has decided to pedestal his word in terms of rank above his name. When you hear name in scripture, I don't have time. All right? Conclude that what it means scripturally is authority. Names are attached to authority, not nomenclature and taxonomy. And so if the Bible says that God has exalted his word above his name, it means if God speaks, his words become law, and he himself becomes subject to everything he says. Because of that, he doesn't use words the way we do. Because of that, the Bible says he is not a man that he should lie, neither is he a son of man that he should repent. So God, if God has spoken, he cannot withdraw it. He will not repent of it. He will not change his mind. You get that? So one of the things that God does not do because of the capacity of his utterance is that he doesn't crack jokes. You know, Jesus was a very humorous personality, but he never succeeded in cracking one joke in the Bible. Never. Because if Jesus says, see your small head, your head will become small. May the Lord give you understanding.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So he doesn't use words. And it will become small to the extent to which God can call small. It's not your kind of small, but so because that level of authority is vested on his spoken word, he is not a man that he will use words the way we do. That's a terrible evaluation of man. It means man can lie. Okay, I know you. Okay, you don't like that. All right. Having understood that, when we come back to the royal decree, this is what it says. It said the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. This is by decree. But the earth has he given unto the children of men. This is by decree. Do you know the implication of this? This is what we call jurisdiction in law. Okay, you are not seeing it. Since this is jurisdiction, if after the day God decreed this, if God comes into the earth without man's allowance, it is violation of territorial integrity. You didn't see that? All right. So God, by a decree, limited himself from having the right to operate in this frame of reference because he gave it to a man. You see, there is no way we can understand that creature, man, outside of the kingdom context. Because even though, I know you know, the book of John chapter 4 verse 24, that says that God is spirit. Have you read that scripture before? Because the way you are looking at me, it seems you have never read it before. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. First lesson we can draw from that scripture is that God decided to limit himself to the spirit realm. If he's going to come into the natural realm, you will have to permit him because of this royal decree. Okay, you didn't see that. Second thing we can draw from John chapter 4 verse 24 is that only spirit can contact spirit. As versatile as your mind is, you might have a PhD in engineering. You can't touch God with your mind. Because your mind operates on a different plane. In the classroom, you can be a warrior and you can explain so many things and give perspective on so many concepts. But even though your mind is developed, you can be bankrupt spiritually. Because the spiritual realm actually operates on in another dimension, and it is only an enabled spirit that can operate in that dimension. Many of you are highly educated, but you are dullard, you are bankrupt spiritually. And that's not because God has not made available all the infrastructure that is needed for you to engage Him effectively. It's just probably you didn't realize that the same level of effort that you put into developing your mind is the same, if not more, effort that you will put into developing your spirit. And if all you have is a developed mind, the Bible says that the spirit of a man shall sustain his infirmity. It means that there are challenges that will befall your life, which is consequent upon the fact that you have infirmities, you have weaknesses, you have insufficiencies, and there are challenges that will befall your life that your mind doesn't have the capacity to carry. It will require a spirit that is enabled to sustain your infirmity. Are you still with me? Okay. Now, let's go back here. In view of the above, God has created you, and by the royal decree has ordained that this is your frame of reference, that you are going to be the zenith of His creation in that space of creation that is that frame of reference that sustains matter, that sustains time, that sustains space. I hope you know that frame of reference is where you are the master. And if God is going to come into that frame of reference, you will have to allow Him come. And that is why the Bible reveals that one of our designs as men is that we were designed to be creatures of prayer. I'm quoting Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And He spake a parable to this end, that men ought what? Always. I know that's not the life you live. You have found another way of living, which is not consistent with prescription and design. And that's why your attempt to advance is heavily laden with confusion. It's because you are trying to generate a model that is inconsistent with the design. And you are hoping to get by without subscribing to the design that God has put in place. You are not seeing it. You were designed to be a creature of prayer. As you continue to pray always and you are not fainting, you are creating earthly permission for heavenly interference, for God to invade this physical frame of reference, because it is now your own jurisdiction by reason of the royal decree. You get it? We cannot describe the function of man. Now listen to me. This is a serious moment. We have a place for children. We have a place for children. I went to inspect it yesterday. It's well equipped, so that we can focus. Hallelujah. So many people traveled from far and near to come encounter the Lord. We are conscious of that. Yes, we take the responsibility of ministry during the course of this weekend with fear and trembling. Yes, and we have taken time to plead with the Lord concerning these windows of ministration. So we want to make the most of it. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
So, outside of the fact that you are a kingdom creature, it will be difficult to explain the purpose of man. You are that being that will allow God walk. If God wants to come into this space, according to the theory of regeneration, God will wear your spirit. And then you will be carrying Him from place to place. And through your spirit man, He can begin to invade this realm. Man cannot be understood outside of his principal purpose in the kingdom. The kingdom agency is supposed to step God down into this frame of reference that God, without our priesthood, will not be able to enter into legitimately. Oh, you are not here. Let me still clear your doubts as we go on, because there's no need for me to go to the book of Acts if you don't understand these basics. In the entire creation of God, only one creature was not created after its kind, and that's man. It means that a goat, for instance, is more original than you, because a goat was created after its kind. So the best example of a goat is a goat. But man was created after the God kind. So it's only God that can actually judge whether you are compliant. Another man can come and say, okay, I think you are doing well in ministry. He doesn't have that capacity, because you were not created after that man's image. You were created after God's image. Do you understand that? Are you with me? So it's only God that can say, this person is represented. This is how, this is the intention I had in mind. So that thing, I use that word sparingly. That word we call success. I use it sparingly. Because if you understand what we are talking about, you will not be quick to mention that word. Your frame of reference, your reference is God. You were created in his image, you were created in his likeness. Created in his likeness so that you can represent him. Created in his image so that you can carry his authority. That's the kind of creature that man is. He is the kingdom creature. It is because God has an intention to invade this space, that is why he decided to create man. Are you still there with me? All right, so if we have time during the course of these lectures, we will look at the blueprint, the design for man. You see, Jesus happened to be in the conclave when the decision was reached, let us make man. He was in that conclave. No more amen till I finish this message. No more amen. Just, you said enough amen for 2 weeks. Hallelujah. Just listen. Are you here? Now listen. Jesus was in that meeting when the decision was made, let us make man. 7 times in scripture, he unveiled that man, the blueprint of that man that was decided upon that day. 7 times in scripture. Give us insight into how that man was designed to function. I just mentioned one now. Luke chapter 18 verse 1. And he spake a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray. That men were designed to be creatures of prayer always, and not to faint. It was in that scripture Jesus revealed that the person he calls man, or the people he calls men, are creatures of prayer. Now, if you have found another way of survival apart from prayer, when God is looking for a man to facilitate his agenda, he doesn't come to you, because you are not, according to the description, the design, your life doesn't fulfill that requirement. So even though all of us have heads, from God's perspective, we are not, some of us are not men. We are operating outside of the design. So he cannot depend on you if he wants to do anything upon the face of the earth. Have you heard of Tusela? He ended up with all the time he had. The product of his life was that he produced sons and daughters. Meanwhile, according to the Bible, you existed first as a creature of eternity, a seed of eternity. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Before you were formed in your mother's womb. If all you do is operate like a creature of time, the only thing that is attached to your existence is that you gave birth to sons and daughters. That's just all. Then, indeed, you did not manifest according to design. There are several snapshots that Jesus gave us about man. And the first was a creature of prayer, that we facilitate the purpose of God upon the face of the earth. Now, listen. Listen, it will be an offense to the congregation for you to leave where you left with your phone on. In northern Nigeria, I was posted there and I worked there for some time. That's where the sons of the bondwoman are. You can't do that in the mosque. It's only the church that will do that. Because we don't reverence the God that we have come to serve. And that's why God, the presence of God, the hand of God, is dying out. The missionaries, a friend of mine, I just met him a few days ago. And he said the missionaries that left the United Kingdom to bring the gospel to us in Africa died because of the gospel. We that have been sent from Africa to Europe, what we are looking for is a better life. May the Lord make that word, may the Lord cause that word I just said now to echo in the heart of someone. If you can't come, you can't switch off your phone. That's how much you don't honor God in your heart. And we want revival. You can't switch off your phone. So if you can't remember to switch off your phone because you are going to learn about God, and because of your honor for God, you just do that because of honor. If nobody is there, will you pray? All right. So having said that, we can now go to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, the book of Acts was written by the doctor, Luke. And he started his presentation by referring to a former treatise. A former treatise. Don't forget, just like I said before attempting to explain the scripture now, that we were created as agents of the kingdom. Thank God for your career, but there's a difference between your job and your work. Jesus spoke about his work. He said, I will walk the work of him that sent me. All right? So there is a work. And your work is actually the work of him that has sent you. Because everyone that made it into this frame of reference existed as a seed of eternity. You were chosen from that pool and sent. Right? Many people came into this stage of time and they are dissociated from the errand that they were sent to accomplish upon the face of the earth. They became something else. They got involved, they got entangled with so many things, and the purpose for which they were sent was eluded. Jesus had a work. So even though you have a job, you must remember that your job is different from your work. And your essence, the reason for which you are in this pilgrimage, is to accomplish your work. Because outside of the kingdom, outside of extending the frontiers of the influence of Christ, we don't have any business being here. So a lot of people get submerged, subdued by their job. And they forget that they have a work. Whereas your job pays you salary, your work pays you reward. The frames of reference, they are different. In fact, if you understand what I'm talking about, you will use your job and the salary to equip you to accomplish your work. Yes. I worked in the oil industry in Nigeria for 16 years. And for this time, before I buy a piece of suit, I will need to pray about it. Because I know why God gave me that job. He gave me the job because of the work. May you not be swallowed by one job. Because when you become old, you will know that you wasted your life. Outside of the kingdom, outside of bringing, extending the glory of God, the frontiers of the glory of God on earth, you have no use being here. So if your heart has not yet captured your work, you are wasting. And God has all of eternity to wait, but you don't have all of time. That's my little counsel. Because I want to legitimize the reason for which conferences like this will have to hold. And this is an apostolic conference. That's why we are not trying to pamper you, make you feel good. Hey, hallelujah. Yeah! You need more than yeah for the end time. Because when you meet with demons, you need something more than even theory to combat with them. Now, Luke makes reference to a former treatise that he wrote. And he wrote that treatise to Theophilus. Before we begin to analyze the book of Acts chapter 1 and to show us the context of Acts chapter 1, it will be needful for us to peep into the former treatise that Luke was referring to. It will stabilize us. It will give us some form of balance so that when we approach the book of Acts, you will know where we are approaching it from. If the two books were totally disconnected, he wouldn't have made reference to a former treatise. Are you with me? All right. So maybe when we go to the book of Luke chapter 1, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 3. You'll get the context. When we get the context about that former treatise, then we'll be ready to engage the book of Luke, the book of Acts. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Yes? This is the first treatise. And you will notice as we progress in our reading that it was addressed to a certain noble. Imagine someone that has worked in the judiciary, in the Department of Judiciary in the United Kingdom for like 35 years and is retired. He has studied so many books. He has so much experience in terms of delivery of justice, all kinds of knowledge. And then that guy wants to know the ways of God. How many of us here can be sent to present the ways of Jesus most perfectly to someone that is very sound in terms of intellectually and in practice of his own area of discipline? I want to reveal to you the kind of capacity building that they did in the days of the Bible. And why it was Luke, the doctor, that was sent to engage that man. Because in view of such openings, the average believer will be totally incompetent. When a learned personality begins to question, okay, why do you believe in this? Because he wants to know the ways of the Lord and he wants to understand it first in his mind before he throws his heart in faith. How many of us have the confidence to bring such service delivery that you will become confident in the things that are most surely believed among us? These are the scriptures I read and I evaluate my own pastoring. If the people that I'm putting on this suit to stand before and this time to stand before don't have this level of credibility, in my view, I believe I'm wasting people's time. That's why in this day, part of our service delivery is to bring clarity to the deliveries of God so that everyone will be fully persuaded about the things in which he has been instructed. Little pressure coming upon a Christian, just pressure. Then he begins to feel that God has failed him. It is because his faith in Jesus is not deep. Circumstances can plummet his belief system. Situations can press him and he will become an atheist. Because what was
happening in his life had no depth in itself.
Meanwhile, there is a system that we need to put in place that will guarantee depth.
And that's why, you know, our team is so sender you.
There is a frame of reference. It's not just sending you in a utopian fashion. There is a common ground of comparison. It's the same way the Father has sent him. The same way. There's a common ground of comparison. That's how I am sending you. When we go to the book of Acts and begin to crack it, then you will notice what the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 1 is meant for. Meanwhile, this is not the message I believe I was supposed to preach. But when I saw the way we answered amen, I knew we needed another lesson before we can qualify for the lessons of this conference. If not, we will start at a level that will be so far removed from life application. Let's hear the doctor. He said, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. First of all, he's saying that the issues concerning Jesus Christ in his time, not in our time, but in his time, the issues concerning Jesus Christ were becoming issues that became somewhat popular. I don't know the names of your newspapers in the United Kingdom. Can you give me two names here? Daily what? Daily Mail. Yes? Metro. Okay, Metro. Guardian. After the death of Jesus and all of the drama that was associated with his death, it was customary for you to see headlines like "That man Jesus," because many people took it in hand to talk about Jesus. So he was saying it was becoming popular to talk about Jesus. Many have taken it in hand to talk about Jesus, his ways, his lifetimes, his life and times. It was something that was going to sell if it came on the news. But Luke was trying to reveal to us the reason why he was talking about Jesus. It was not because it was popular, to talk about him. But he was giving us the basis, the reason for which he was in that race. You will soon find out next verse. Then I will explain verse number 2. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. The reason why Luke was involved in this business. You see, it seemed good to me also, even though a lot of people were in it. Yeah, verse 3. Having perfect understanding of all things from the very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Now, this guy has two qualifications that gives him credibility to talk about Jesus. One was that he received the oracles from eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. He was schooled. He was a disciple of people that saw the things he reported. Because what happens when the individuals that you received from, the lively oracles of God, if those individuals have not encountered God, it means there's a missing link. And you are likely to come out a caricature. And that's not because you are not desiring. But unfortunately, you receive oracles from someone that is not chartered. He was saying, I'm chartered. Because I have perfect understanding of all things from the very first. And I received credibility because I was a student of the eyewitnesses and what? The ministers of the world. If you have never seen the dead raised before, you can't believe for it. Most often, our ministries are patterned after the ministries of people that we saw. So your scale of measurement, your lenses and your eyes can see in the same direction of your training and your exposure. Oh, you're not here. This is not time to be offended. We're just starting. If you're offended by 9 o'clock, I will understand. It's too early for offense. Oh my. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to cry this so much because you may not be aware that Christianity is dying in your nation. You may not be aware. Everybody's looking for the pound. Meanwhile, this man was talking about his credentials for having capacity to present the gospel in his most fluid form to a functionary, someone that had served the state and had experience and knowledge together. You will notice that Luke was much younger than excellent Theophilus, but there was a capacity of grace that was upon his life that made the ruler, made that noble man to be his student. Are you with me? So the content of his delivery, yes. Go back. All right. Okay, let's see the purpose. Maybe I'll show you the purpose and the content of his delivery. Verse 4, you see the purpose of his delivery. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been. The people that have been instructed in the body of Christ, how many of them know the certainty of the things in which they have been? The proof of the fact that someone knows the certainty of the things in which he has been instructed is that he can trust it. And Jesus will never be powerful in your life except you get to trust him. You will take risks because of him. Only a man that knows that Jesus is reliable can release himself like that. Because most of us, what the fall made us is that it made us personalities that are cautious. Even in the adventure of faith, the extent to which you will believe is the degree to which you trust that this your believing will not be so reckless that you will not have a net to catch you when you free fall. Your experience of Jesus is going to be to the degree to which you are willing to trust. Do you understand that? Yes, and that's why God will not promote you to another spiritual level when you have not passed the tests of a certain level. When you pass the test of a certain level, then he opens the door to another level, because in the issues that pertain to that first level, you have been tested and your trust for Jesus was found intact. So you find believers that are willing to commit suicide because they lose a job. A job. That means you have not found security in Christ. You have found security in pounds. And even though we come to church and say, we will follow you, Jesus knows that most of us lie. He knows. Because the truth, the authenticity of your life will be tested with hard facts when circumstances and situations find expression around your life. That's when we know your God. Because what you run to when you're under pressure actually has preeminence in your belief system. This man was to be taught and adequately exposed to the certainty of those things wherein he was. What? Instructor. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, go back to the former treatise, have I made with Theophilus of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. No. For as much as many are taken in hand. Okay, verse 1. No, go back. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. He said, for as much as many have taken in hand, this is what, to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. This is the content. The ability to set in order the items and the articles of our belief system. That's what the Bible calls de fit. De fit is a compendium of our belief system. This man had the competence to set them in order. Ask the average Christian. Pastor, we administered a questionnaire on basic Christianity. The questions were, do you believe in the virgin birth? We coined questions that were consistent to our belief system as Christians. Things that if you don't believe, you are not a Christian. And we sent it out. 73% of the people that filled the questionnaire don't believe in the virgin birth. Meanwhile, the reason for the virgin birth was this. Adam had experienced a mutation. Anyone that comes from Adam is going to be mutated. So God had to crystallize a system in which the Holy Spirit and the woman will be involved in the manifestation of Jesus, bypassing the seed of man. And that's why God prophesied in the garden about the seed of the woman, even though biologically the woman doesn't have seed. It's to escape the seed of a man that is already polluted, so that if you test Jesus' DNA, it matches with the Father's. So that corruption was not in Jesus. It is because that corruption was not in him that God could start afresh with him. And then he went to the hill of sacrifice without corruption. So that sacrifice was able to satisfy the claims of divine justice. In the heart of our belief system is that the virgin birth arrangement. 73% of the people that helped with the questionnaire did not believe in that. You know why we did it? To find out if Christianity was in the decline. We knew it was declining, but wanted to evaluate the decline. So we saw that there was a 76% decline. That means it will take the next 35 years for Christianity to die if there is no revival. Meanwhile, we are still singing, "You are worthy, oh Lord." That person that is singing, that is not certain about the things that is believed, most believed among us, is not an addition. Justify the conference, this kind of conference. This kind of conference where people don't say hallelujah, where it is about the hard facts of apostolic truth and civilization. Not about excitement and hype. Still trying to justify it. Is it true that you that is sitting there can actually defend the faith? What, you can't defend what you don't have. Meanwhile, this whole arrangement I'm reading is still the former treatise. Not the current emphasis that Luke was trying to bring. This Acts of the Apostle is the letter to Theophilus part 2. This is part 1. You are not with me. Are you still here? So we need to keep religion aside. Keep our differences aside. And then redefine our pursuit. That is Jesus we are looking for. Huh? The time I say that I need an answer from you, there's no answer. See? It means we are not sure. These days we are not sure again. No. That's what you're saying. If you don't have an answer. Meanwhile, this is the United Kingdom. This is the place from whence the gospel came to us. So what about Congo? How will it be at this time? You are not seeing the need for new apostolic people to begin to emerge that can do the kind of job that Luke did. I went to Scotland, I went to Glasgow to look upon the place because I heard, okay, there was a revival here. I even traced John Knox's house to say, oh my God, this was the setting. Ah, Jesus. And I walked on the street and I could not see the legacy of that man's labor on the land. Because when we finished the meeting on Friday and we're heading back to our places, all the young people I saw were going for alcohol. And I knew there was an altar that was set up in that place to turn the hearts of men from our goal, from our objective. And it seemed that most of the churches in the locality are helpless about this situation. We're just hiding like Gideon in the cave to thresh. We don't seem to have any authority over what has bedeviled the land. The orientation Jesus gave the apostles was not to hide in one corner and be doing something. No. He gave them the ability to infiltrate systems and to crack civilizations. Okay, let's do for our people. Then why are you a missionary? Why are you in the United Kingdom when you don't have the capacity to reach our white brothers? When they came to us, they were not preaching, there were no whites there. They learned they became like us so that they could get us. And the cycle is complete, and we have come back and said, okay, if it's like this, let's look for. It means we are not convinced about the basic things. The basic things. We're not being instructed. And that's why we're doing the ministry of convenience. That's not what the apostles did. Hallelujah. Having understood that, this was a second treatise to Theophilus. The first thing that, when they finished lesson one, Theophilus now is born again. So the lesson two of the discipleship program was all the events that led up to the sovereign outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Because if the devil cannot stop you from giving your life to Christ, he will stop you from knowing the Holy Ghost. So let us find the articles that are connected to lesson two. Let us see the things that... He said, the former three times have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So in this verse of scripture, we see that Theophilus was given a summary of the life and times of Jesus Christ. He summarized it in one verse. The entire book of Luke summarized it in one verse here. And the book of Luke, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 1, was all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Please help me tell your neighbor, both to do and to teach. Now, the first question we need to ask is, this doing that Luke spoke about, what exactly was it? Because that doing is the foundation of Jesus' teaching ministry. He began to do first before he began to teach next. That means your teaching ministry will not be powerful if there's no doing that supports it. Hallelujah. Sorry, I have an infirmity. My infirmity is I'm not a pastor. That's my infirmity. So I don't know how to excite people. I don't know how to make them. I operate from another office, and the burden of my office is quality control and standards. So it's a different burden. That's why I'm like this. I'm just explaining why I'm strange, you know. Okay. But to do and to what? To teach. Now, if we go, we actually need to go and study the Jesus' typical day, because we are supposed to stumble on that doing that the Bible spoke about. According to the Bible, Jesus' typical day begins a great while before day. And many Bible scholars said 3 a.m. in the morning. So Jesus wakes up in the day. And then he goes to a solitary place. He goes to a place alone, a great while before day. And he prays there. And that's how he starts his day. The reason why he starts his day like that is because that's the only way he can know what is on the heart of the Father. And his preoccupation for that 24-hour day is to prosecute what he found on the heart of the Father. You are not with me? That is how he spent 30 years of his life. So when we say doing, it was actually referring to the life he lived under the government of his Father on a daily basis. You know, I told you about the fact that salvation is remedial. Salvation is not the objective, because what God was offering man was the kingdom. Was the kingdom. Check your Bible. Anything God wanted to do in the book of Genesis that he could not do because of the fall, trust me, he achieved it in another different, the same thing. It means at the end of the day, all of the distraction and the confusion meant nothing. So God will have his goal. Are you here? You are not here. You are not following. I know. God will have his goal. With you or without you. With me or without me. He will have his goal. That's what I'm saying. Hallelujah. The privilege that you have, that I have, is that we have the opportunity to be part of the administration of that intent. And in doing so, we are actually investing in eternity. Hallelujah. In an endless frame of reference and possibility. So I'm using this, my life, as a seed to invest in a window into eternity. And that window is my time of pilgrimage upon the face of the earth. And I'm investing it into something that is timeless. And in that age of timelessness, all of my investment will become my status, my rank, and my standing in that context. Because God will have his goal. Hallelujah. Do you get that?
Yeah.
Right. Now, it's an apostolic conference, so I need to be taking us. Maybe when we come for the next edition, I will not be trying to excavate all of these kind of things to provide legitimacy for why we need to be. We would have had one step so we can take another step. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So now. It is an opportunity God is giving me and you to invest in what cannot fade away. All right? That's the meaning of the privilege he gives us in Christ Jesus. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
One man died, a big man died. So before they buried him, his colleagues that were sons of the bondwoman came. They touched his leg and they started praying for him. So a man that has understanding now came and said, stop that prayer. That is a Christian now came. Stop that prayer. This man, there's nothing you can do to change this man's faith, because his deeds will follow him. He has already encoded his choices in the endless realm. You can't do anything in time to change anything again. That was the message he brought in the mortuary that broke the heart of. So we all have a privilege, a window to invest. May the definition of your work on this planet not be a quest for pounds.
Amen.
I will stop it there. So Jesus wakes up early in the morning, and he goes to a solitary place to pray. And if you ask him, he will tell you, I must walk the walk of him that sent me. So he wakes up to go secure his mind, and then all through the 24-hour day, he might be walking at the train station. That's where he does his job, all right? But the job he's doing doesn't distract him at all. He knows his objective and he focuses on it. Any advantage he gets from the system, from the government, from his employment, only helps to make him more equipped to prosecute his work. I have authority to tell you that, because I have lived like that for many decades. Yes. So my authority is that I have done what I'm telling you. When we go to the practical session, you will know that I know Jesus. And that's not a boast. It's just a fact. If we are saying, so send I you, the same way that Jesus' Father sent him, there are several things we need to, we must conclude. So he operated under the government of his Father for 30 years. And that was the foundation of his teaching ministry that was for 3.5 years. So for every year of doing, there was a decade. Every year of teaching, there was a decade of obedience to back it up. You are wondering why you have not raised the dead, even though you work as a doctor. And you see people dying. And when you touch them, they die them all. No authority. For every year of teaching, he had a decade of obedience to support it. Meanwhile, you are telling your wife, the way this teaching grace is coming now, you're telling your wife. Teaching grace without obedience to Jesus. So you are a rolling stone. There is no government over your life. You don't. The word of God doesn't have authority over your life. When you see the word of God in black and white, you still you say, no, we are free thinkers. We try to look at it in a very objective. You have lost track with the fundamentals of our belief system. Because according to scripture, at the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every matter is settled. If there are 3 scriptures that have spoken it, 2 scriptures that have spoken it, every man that wants to follow Jesus yields. That is his culture. Oh. And so we wonder why the Antichrist systems are prospering. Things are happening. Even though it is breaking your heart, it is not changing. We don't have men that obey God as a goal. Your proof, according to Jesus, your proof that you love God is that you live a life of obedience. Not that you cry when they sing to God. Some of you cry, oh, if only that was a proof that you love God, your cry would have had value in the eyes of God. And then you would have called some of us that don't cry as hardened men. At the end of the day, when we are done with the service, the people that are hardened in your own eyes, they obey. But you that cried, you take off like a tornado. The proof that you love God is obedience. The proof that you trust God is dependence. Yeah, I know a lot of us have resorted to depending on our strategy, the way we know how to do things, and that's why we went to school. That's why we are educated. We know how to run things. We know how to do things. If you have learned how to live life without God's support, it means you're operating on the currency of insufficiency. And that's why wisdom goes to the streets. Wisdom is crying on the streets. Wisdom wonders how we are living, because it was supposed to be by wisdom that would have been living. But we have found a way to live. Wisdom is crying. See, how have you learned how to survive? I'm the one that is supposed to be giving you the way out. And suddenly you now know how to do things without me. Wisdom cries. And this, because God knows that in your flesh you will attain to your least potential. You become malleable to the systems of this world. You become a victim of the systems. You become a victim of loss. But if you are going to rise above the system of containment, then you need to give the right of way to the deposit that is in your spirit to lead the way. Then Christ will become an inevitable factor in your day-to-day life. So the first thing that we see about the summary of the book of Luke is that the Jesus of the Bible, he first of all perfected doing, which is operating under the government of God, and that was the foundation of his teaching ministry. First thing I need to show us. If you got that, say amen.
Amen.
Second thing we will see in the book of Acts chapter 1 is this. I would like you to see the layout of the book of Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts chapter 1 presents a layout of capacity building. A layout of a seminar. Jesus arranged a seminar. After Jesus ascended into heaven, he had gone back to heaven. They saw him rise to heaven. And he went to heaven and he applied for leave. 40 days of leave. So when the Father approved, he had to come back to his disciples. And the reason why he applied for the leave was because the people that were supposed to continue the enterprise of the kingdom were grossly incompetent. And the business of the kingdom was going to suffer in their hands. So Jesus went and applied for a 40-day casual leave. When he was granted the opportunity for 40 days to come here, what he did was that he set up a seminar. Let me prove it to you. Acts chapter 1, are you there? You know we read that scripture just now. The former three times have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. I don't want to go to verse 2. It will take us some time. Verse 3. Those ones that he had chosen. The Bible says he gave commandments to them. Before he ascended into heaven, he gave commandments to those people by the Holy Ghost. How many of you have ever attended any seminar? And maybe a training, a workshop, something educational. And then the facilitator now comes and says, "Hey, you!" He gave commands. No, that's not the tone of a capacity building seminar. But the Bible says that Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, he gave commandments unto the disciples that he had chosen. Not suggestions. He gave them what?
Commandments.
When last did God come close to you and give you a commandment? And say, from now henceforth, meet me in the night. Oh, you don't know that life? It means you have not attended this seminar. Because the people that he admitted into that seminar were people that he gave commandments to. I don't want you to leave this place with a wrong notion that you've been following Jesus. No. At the end of this seminar, you will know what it takes to follow Jesus. And everyone will know his state in the navigation. You might look very pious, sanctimonious, and sacramental, but yet you are not following Jesus. It will be clear to you at the end of this conference. God, Jesus, gave their disciples that he chose, he gave them commandments. Part of the commandments he gave them was that they should wait for him in Jerusalem. There were so many places. In fact, Jerusalem was not the place that they stay. Most of what we call Jesus' ministry, he did in the countryside. Jerusalem was expensive, just like London. London is expensive. There were some things that we wanted to buy and then we forgot. And then we came to Manchester. The same thing. So cheap. That was how Jerusalem was. It was like London. And Jesus told them to tarry. People staying in places like Dundee, Aberdeen, Perth, that know how to
maintain their life within the scope of how their cities are. Because if you want to buy a house in London, you know how it costs. The same house, if you find it in Dundee, they might even say, "Spend, come, take the house first. You can't build it. Jesus said, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem." And the Bible says here that those commandments that he gave to them, he gave them by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost empowered him to give those instructions. Has Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, given you any instruction that you have obeyed? It means you didn't come close enough to give him the liberty to trust that he can command you. And you say you are following Jesus. And that's why the churches are dying. Came to your city yesterday and we tried to evaluate the environment. See how easy it is for the sons of the born woman to take over cities. From Birmingham, now it's Manchester. And what are you doing about it? Okay. It's only those people that Jesus can give commandments that can do anything. Most of us Christians, we are just, it's a religion you have. You have Christian religion. It is, we are tired of it. This world doesn't need Christian religion. This world needs followers of Jesus. If under these circumstances you can't follow Jesus, you will not survive it. You will serve idols in Africa. If under these ones you can't follow Jesus, you worship idols. What will you do if a native doctor comes to you to challenge you and say, "Your days are numbered"? You don't know your God. Because he can't give you a commandment. He knows you will not obey, so no need for him to. You have not recognized his authority. So you don't know that part of God. That part of God that commands. You have never seen it. And if we talk about people came here today expecting God to move so that they can be healed and all, you believe you should get something from God, and you don't believe that God should gain from your life. I don't know how we got there in the body of Christ, and you believe God, the intelligent God, doesn't know that you are just a liability. No, I say it the way it is, please. And when we are done and you see me outside, you will discover that it is the anointing on me that makes me. The first thing you will notice that I'm a stammerer when we meet outside. I only talk when I preach. First thing you will notice. Most of you, the life you live, I will never live it. Jesus cannot command you. Then you don't know him. I went to one office and the Lord said, "From now henceforth, don't eat when the sun can still be seen. Eat when the sun has hidden." And I did that for 4 years. It was after 4 years that I discovered that the people I was working with were close to Satan. They were worshippers of Satan. Okay? My seat, they would take it to the shrine on Friday night and put an idol on it. Then on Sunday night, my colleague that sat on it before me became paralyzed. You understand what I'm talking about? I was not fasting to go for crusades. I was fasting to go to work. Yes, I used that seat for 4 years. So the people came and said, "Okay, we are all cultists, including you. When we see our kind, we know. The only thing we have not discovered is where you hold your own meeting. But all of us, we know this. So where do you attend your own?" So I started eating once a day. After 6 o'clock, I was as lean as a HIV victim, but I did not break the instruction. You have a God. The proof that you have a God over your life is that your God can instruct you. I've seen idol worshippers. Idol worshippers, real warlocks, don't sleep for more than 3 hours. And they don't sleep on the bed. Oh, you? I started my campaign from London, and I've been seeing the texture of Christians, the people that call themselves Christians here. Let if you go for a party, just go. If you can't survive here, don't come back home. My brothers and sisters from Africa, you are no match. Because for your information, since you left, they have increased their technology. They have new dimensions of. He can't command you. It means you don't have a God. Amen. One of the sorcerers, high sorcerers in Ghana, the idol told him, "This is your son that you just gave birth to now. There is no name in the spirit world for him. So call him your father's name. And never beat him. He never beat that boy till he died." Never. Because I met that boy. He's a man now. And he was preparing him to take over the idol. So he will call him in, give him some insight. Some of the first few insights he gave him was that, as a warlock, choose your battles. If you find any Christian that prays in the night, don't fight. You will not win.
Hallelujah.
If you find a Christian that prays intermittently, don't fight him. You will not win. If you find a Christian that prays long prayers, long hours, don't fight. These are the only three people that you cannot win. But if you notice, he doesn't pray. You can make him mad. And he told me what can be done to make someone mad. Such madness that he himself cannot reverse. That's what I'm talking about. He himself can't use the craft to reverse it. I've seen children of 12 years old, they have master's degree in witchcraft. If you bring, they will blot out your light. You say you have light? Let me tell you the truth. If that agent of darkness is more submitted to Satan than you are to Jesus, you will lose. He gave commandments unto the disciples that he had chosen. So when he chooses you to be part of the seminar, he gives you strange commandments. When you begin to receive commandments from the Lord, it's a proof that he's interested in your life. When last did Jesus give you a command? Anywhere you are, 6 o'clock in the evening, 11 o'clock in the night, it's your time of prayer. Stop anything you are doing and meet me by 11. Oh, there is no cycle. Okay, what will you hand over to your children? What are the spiritual ordinances that you have practiced that you will hand over to your children? And you call your son and say, "My son, I met Jesus at the age of 13. These are the instructions he gave me. And you must continue them." Because you have not encountered God personally, you don't have anything to tell you other than what they learn in Sunday school. You don't have your own walk with God as a credential that you can pass to him. It means you have no God. Because if you have a God, you will learn of him. He gave the commandments. He gave them commandments. The people that he has chosen. That's number one. The proof that he wants to send you. You know, we're talking about people that can send. The proof that he has a plan to send you is that he will give you commandments, which is a proof that you have been chosen. He gave commandments unto those that he chose. Unto those that he chose. I had one of the best jobs in Nigeria. I was not poor. No. I was far from poor. We were technocrats in the system, the petroleum industry. When I was to be a manager, he now came and said, young man, resign. What? It was just remaining 2 weeks for me to write the exam, become a manager. Then I now said, won't it be to your glory for a manager to resign and follow you? You know, when the flesh can be mingled into many religious prayer deliveries. You are not called to advise God. That's not your status. No, the Bible says there's none beside him. You are not his counselor. After I labored with that, my strategy, and he did not answer me, I knew that the last command was still valid. So I went and I resigned. A few days after I resigned, he began to give me the training for the next phase of my life. And then he said, okay, since you didn't put your trust in that job, you obeyed me when I say resign, I will give you something more than that job. I don't need to tell you my personal testimony. Just believe me, I have something more than the job. Okay, let's leave it there, because my testimony will distract you. Yes, that's when I received some gifts. I received gifts. There is not no how you labor that you can get those gifts if Jesus doesn't give you. But he will empower those that he can command. Hallelujah. Once upon a time, we went for a crusade in a village. The villagers, we wrote on our handbill, on our publicity materials, that the event will begin 5 o'clock. So I came by 4. And the person that was coordinating the program said, man of God, you are too early. I said, what? Is it possible to be too early for a meeting? He said, let me tell you about where you are. These people are farmers. It doesn't matter what you write on your poster. You wrote 5 p.m. They don't recognize that. They will go to farm. When they finish from their farms, they will come back by 7. Then they will go and pound the yam with okra soup and eat. By 8, most of them will come to your crusade ground and stand far away like this. And be watching the people singing praise and worship like this. It is by 9 o'clock that some of them, they will start sitting from the back seat. You see 3, 5, 7. It is around 11 that they will be comfortable with the entire arrangement and the seats will be filled up. So you came by 4. You are too early. Okay. I said, take us to the shrine or the village. We want to pay a visit to the native doctor. He said, when you come to a place, you can visit the king. Why does he have a shrine? He's the only personality apart from the king that has an office, a location. So he's a functionary in this place. So we now started going to the... Don't get me wrong. It was an instruction. In case someone will leave here and say, you might not like the outcome. It was an instruction. I'm talking about commandments. I knew I heard it. So, we started heading for the shrine. When we got close, the man was singing a song. Most warlocks, that's the kind of song they sing when their sacrifices have been accepted. There were 22 altars he poured blood on. 22. And he was singing. Because the spirits were excited. He was singing. That's when he saw us. And he looked at me and said, "Who are you?" I said, "We come to you in peace." Then he checked his spirit. They were no longer there. Then he frowned. I said, "What is your mission?" I said, "That hand, if you raise that hand again, I will curse it. Put it back." He looked for a way. I told him, like I said, that we have come in peace, but we are not powerless. So you should observe decorum. He was 100 years old when I met him. I was 36 years old then when I met him. He sat down. I sat down. We started discussing. Halfway into our discussion, 9 old men like himself joined us. Those are the keepers of the culture. They sat down. Then I read the scripture to them. They didn't know they were disarmed already. That scripture in the book of Luke chapter 2, when Simeon said, "This child, he will lighten the Gentiles and is the glory of the people of Israel." So the salvation will be light to the Gentiles because they sit in darkness. I began to talk about the darkness among the Gentiles for which the light of Christ must shine. When I began, they know the things I'm talking about. When I began to open it to them, this is part of our culture. And this is not good. This is darkness. This is part of what we do. This is also darkness. And the Bible speaks about a light. Their hearts broke. And they knelt down and gave their life to Christ. 9 of them. I made them renounce their God. So they renounced their gods. We mentioned their names. And then they renounced it. Before we left today. Guess what? The time we spent there was sufficient time for the villagers. Not just to come and peep from afar, but to sit down. So we came back and met a full house. Huh? The witches in the village did not know that we went to shut down the mass that was powering their covens. So when praise and worship was going on, "You are worthy, oh Lord." No preacher. A cripple stood up without prayer and started walking. "You are worthy." Three cripples. Another one. Three people stood up from wheelchairs and began to walk without prayer because we went and shut down the mast. When the witches saw that the people they tied were walking, they ran away. So we left the Bible on the pulpit and followed them to the highway. Yes. You know, you don't know that kind of preaching. The pastor must be fine before he can preach to you. We left the Bible on the pulpit, pursued the witches to the highway, and started deliverance on the highway. This is 12 midnight on the highway. They began to manifest. vomit charms in the night. We finished that deliverance by 1 a.m. in the morning. Still came back to the crusade ground. The farmers were, nobody left. Came back 1 a.m. The people that refused to come for the crusade, when they saw what was going on, we led a village to Christ, the whole village. All of that. Now, the purpose of my testimony is not to tell you that I'm how great a preacher I am. All of that was tied to obedience. If you don't know obedience, there are many things you don't know. Because in God, there are many the realities He wants to expose you to are on the other side of obedience. So if you don't start the journey of obedience, there are multiplier actions of God that you are cut off from. The Bible says through the Holy Ghost He gave commandments unto the disciples that He has chosen. So the first question I need to ask you is, can God give you commandments? Commandments that you will be faithful to. Even when there is hunger, when you lose your job. Have you seen the sons of the bond woman? They will pray if they are broke. They will pray if they are hungry. They will pray if they are divorced. They will pray if they are sick. Nothing can stop them from praying. But you, your prayer is emotional. When you feel bad, you don't pray. Say, God is far. That's how you are. You don't have a God. It's because you don't have a God that you have no commandments. There's nothing in your life that you must do. So your kids, they don't have any example to follow. Growing up around you. And then when they become set in their ways, you begin to take their names to pastors. Say, can you pray for? The person grew under your roof and became a soothsayer right there. Are you offended? We have not reached where, if we reach the place, you are supposed to be offended. If you are offended, I will understand. Not now. First thing He did was that He gave them commandments. Part of what we'll do tonight is that we are going to pray and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Should I tell you something? The last time you heard God clearly was the last time you obeyed His commandments. Many of you that have a hearing problem, it started with rebellion. Oh, in the whole of Manchester, because we have gone round. At least we try to go around to see some of the city center. Where is the person that God speaks to take a megaphone to the center, city center? I haven't fasted for 7 days to preach an evangelical message. Whether people are hearing or not, all he's doing is obeying. Oh, God has stopped speaking here. All God should speak about is how you get another job. A pay raise, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Even if you reason what you believe, you will know it's a fraud. If you take time to sit down and say, okay, let's process this thing, you yourself will come to the conclusion that this thing I am doing is a fraud. The topic that I was given is not for babes. It can only come in form of strong meat. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Number two. Now, is David? Is David here? David didn't come to Manchester. Did you see him? All right. Okay. Now, listen. Look for strings on your... Very... Oh, no. Reduce your volume. I will tell you when to increase it. No. You are ready. No, it's too high. David, okay, come and help me. Now, I want to change this meeting. I attended lectures with Jesus, and part of what He taught me was how to migrate from the office of a teacher to the office of a prophet. Okay, reduce your volume. So from what he taught me, I need a minstrel. That's my own texture. That's how I am. Hallelujah. Please endure my type. In the name of Jesus. Don't. Low. I will tell you when to increase. You know, most of you don't minister before the Lord. You don't know how to raise your heart in dependence. You cry to Him, then He comes. You don't know that art. So you cannot move God's hand. There are many things God will teach you if you decide that you will follow Him intimately. He will tell you, show you things, you will know things that cannot be taught. You can't teach anybody as much as you want to. The art of bringing God out from the spirit realm for Him to be visible is dependent on your capacity to minister to Him. Oh my. All right. Number 2, Acts chapter 1, verse 3. And I beheld an angel of the Lord stretching forth his hand. And when I looked at his hand, I could see a vessel. And I asked, Senayo me mama inako maeda boro. I saw a vessel. When I inquired of the Lord, I found that there is someone in this auditorium. The reason for which God brought you is because He wants to give you a gift this evening. The person I see is an intercessor. You don't need to believe me, but what I'm saying will come to pass before I finish this meeting. Someone that has been laboring for many years in the place of prayer. Your heart has been burdened with the burdens of the Lord. And you have been prosecuting those burdens in the place of prayer. Even though you have seen little or no results in the things that you have prayed about, but you have continued to pray and to labor. This night, I see the Lord sending an angel. And this angel came with a gift, a package. And that package is being released into your life as I speak now. The package is being released. The package is being dropped. The package is being unveiled. Oh, it's coming. The package has been released. It's been released over your life. It's been released so strong
and the hand of the Holy Ghost is strong upon you in the name of Jesus. You've waited for so long. For the Lord gives unto you, He gives unto you a gift. Senye kome, senye koskamale kumu, ikamo, ikamo. Meskote mando ramates kilo. Hallelujah. 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 You are the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 To the Lamb. Hallelujah. 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 To the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. Abo semaya. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus. The reason why I told him to play softly was because if he plays too high, I will not be able to teach again. We lose the ability to teach. But I'm trying to recall the ability to teach. Aiko salam. I don't think I can succeed anymore. Now listen. I see in the spirit, I see a garment descending from heaven. Please, no amen. No amen. A garment descending from heaven. And when I inquired of the Lord concerning this garment, He revealed that it is the mantle of His presence. There is somebody in this auditorium that was designed to be a carrier of the presence of God. You will take the presence of God from place to place, and everywhere you arrive, God will begin to manifest. That's your calling. And as I speak unto you, the garment is coming. It's coming on you. It's coming on you. It's coming. It's coming on you. So powerful. Coming on you so powerful. It's coming on you so powerful. Can you bring him? Bring him. Bring him for me. Velikos kapalantos kesu. Can we rise and just pray?
The Lord has taken over. So let's just connect with you. Now, the subject of tonight is about your life, your walk with God. Those of you that know you are called, there's a calling of God on your life. You know God, once upon a time, He opened you up to see some things about what He wants you to do. And your life is so different from your initial convictions. This conference is a bridge of restoration, so that you can come back into alignment. I don't know what has changed your emphasis of pilgrimage. Is it that you stumbled on some pounds or some opportunities were given to you that you were not prepared for, and then your heart began to sway in a moment of time? We want to realign ourselves by asking God for mercy, and that God will equip us. God will revitalize our hunger for the things of His kingdom. It's a moment of prayer. I can't hear you pray. You are meditating. I saw Kemo seal. Barama sile keso somina tele. Panso sela makaita. Lombres kofelami sikabeso sela. Indo mokoria same sosela brante kaskuta mantali. Shama ratali moseli abrasketo minakadia manzala babori. Jao siko belo nenosika dale manskande. Manta baboria skebokoria. Sheko belo skamesite kantelia. Amaya koske saminantolia. Jeko sika baska talababonda. Mankampela muske. Jamina koske tabrate kuskatelia. Hemo sakala. Hemo selia. Hemo konteli maskapela. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to renew my covenants with you. The things that you have instructed me many years ago, the things that you have required of my life many years ago, that I forgot, that I abandoned. Lord, as I come to realign myself, I come to realign myself. Sheko se la mama naiko, la broske, ikamalo boburia, shelibo konte, manto le brosketa, hiko talaboria, esko menalika, braske to kombe lama santeli, iabo seli, kembroska, tababonda, eko belo mosiko branda babola kadia takele, emayatosi. Mayatose, endorobo sokotala. Ima yakose makante bre, makante baboria sika mena kontela. Andelo baboria siko mekatala. We come for realignment. Ibo soko mena telimo sela, brasketonde la moko. Entoseka baka meko tala bokori amasika. Eso menala babore. Oh God, lando doboko soko brosketa kabela menakodia. Hallelujah. We give you glory. Isoko menande iko balabasaita. He's calling you, he's drawing you to himself.
This is that moment of realignment. The covenant, the agreement he had with you, you need to bring it before you and ask him for grace. For grace, so that your life will make meaning in heaven.
And I am Cosimo Santelia. Maroske se capre cuta balacatalia. Mentobre hescoto binacadia. Bento cosqueta mina ketocombre. Zamena curia, zamena cabalo. Zamena antaya, cusqueta menacadia. Ecopela, sedimo coria. Mensa sila caperanda babore.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. La sokela brahas katalia. In Jesus' mighty name. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, are there instructions God gave you that you abandoned? Part of the proof that you are still functioning by his government is that you don't take his instructions lightly. So we're going to pray tonight and say, Lord, maybe something is coming to your heart just now. You are remembering that he told you this and you abandoned it. He told you that because some terrible situations came up, you became emotional and you felt it was optional and you let it go. You let your opportunity to grow in God go. For those people that he gave an instruction and you abandoned it, this is the moment to repent and to align yourself and to receive grace to be able to accomplish what he instructed. Can we pray to him? Can we pray right now? Because he wants to send us. He wants to send us. He wants to send you. He wants to send me. There is something he wants to accomplish with your life. That's why you are here. That's why you are here. He wants to accomplish something. Oh, you are meditating again. You are meditating again. You are meditating. I so sela menakale. Manda baboro. Ya babora kapeskanteli mokoria. Eskosesa meli mahanteli. Mikoseli mokoria. Sabre kusketa menahantalia. Aparantos ebrisko halamantalia. Esko preka bandes kupa kabala soketa mina kedia. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask for grace, even as we repent for abandoning your instructions. We repent for abandoning your emphasis. We repent for abandoning the things that you have said, the things that you have instructed us. We ask for mercy. And we come before you seeking grace. Grace to do your will. Grace to prosecute your counsel. Iso mena kante baboria. Lembroske to kobreka basketa mina hadiata. Breka balato sika bezgo salamantali. Inko menasiko, presko menasalia. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now, there's someone in our midst, and I'm seeing that God is willing to empower you. Now, from what I see,
The Lord began to give you capacity in the office that he had called you, even the office of an evangelist, to have courage and boldness to reach out to people, and wisdom and strategies by which you will accomplish this task. Now, part of the things that God wants to do is to revive your calling. Yeah, to revive your calling. To revive your calling. There is a fire from heaven that will descend upon the ones implicated by that utterance, because he wants to revive your calling. He'll give you wisdom and strategy on how to reach out, on how to touch lives. He will draw people to you. Your neighbors suddenly will begin to visit. Opportunities will be created for you. But now the Lord wants to give you fire. Now, at the count of seven, the fire will descend from 1 to 7. It will descend on this evangelist that I speak about. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Holy Ghost, stretch forth your hand. Empower these ones. Empower them. Empower them. Empower them. Empower them. From my left hand side to my right hand side, I ask, oh God, for an activation. An activation. A fire. A fire. A fire from heaven. A fire. A fire. A fire. A flame. A flame. A flame. A flame, a flame, a flame comes to activate, to empower you, to empower you. There's a flame. There's a flame. There's a flame. It's flame from heaven. You can't resist it. You can't resist it. You can't resist it. It comes strong on you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. A flame. A flame. There is a flame from heaven, a flame, a flame, a flame. There's a fire that God has called you with, and that fire is dispensable, it's transferable to the hearts of men, it's transferable to the hearts of men. Eminasuke Brantelia. Eminasakotamina. Breskofe Labina Kolete. The strategy that is needed. Choice words. People will be attracted to you. Your neighbors will begin to come to visit you. Opportunities will be given. And the Holy Ghost will drop the words. He will drop the words. If only you are willing, God will send you. Omaseki Mokoria. Braskito Mene Sala Kupe Lame. Kaboske teke pokote malito kupetali yembole shika mako presko felami nasuka baka betula yeto selama itako brega barato minaskale momoteli. Many of your relatives, he will send you to them. He will speak a word into your heart, give you the grace to say it at the right time. Hearts of men will break. Men will bow to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I see someone with a prophetic gift. A lady. You have a prophetic gift in this auditorium. And the Lord is going to revive it. He's going to activate it. It will be stirred up. A fire will activate it. Father, from my left hand side to my right hand side, that one with a prophetic endowment, I ask that you kindle it, 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 kindle it. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, kindle it.
So that you can have confidence in the things you hear, the things you see, the actions that are supposed to be corresponding actions that will result from the things that you see, the things that you hear in the spirit.
Ushers, can I touch them? Just help me. Help me. Help me bring them. Help me bring them. Help me bring them.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, 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 oh. Sela boko malame. Aminaso sela ima. Hallelujah.
Oh.
You will see. You will hear. Through the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Understanding will be given unto you. Understanding. Understanding. Father. Let it begin tonight. Let it begin. Let it begin. Let it begin. Let a higher measure be given unto them. A higher dimension be released. A higher measure be released. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. From today, He will tell you what to do. He will tell you. He will tell you what to do. 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 Amberakuse sali. Ambera malatos kesosela branda baboria. Sheka beso se la disco branta babola cavenale. Abama secula telimo, fresco velama. In the name of Jesus. Bring that lady, bring that lady. He will open up your senses. He will open them up. Thank you, Lord. Now listen to me. Tomorrow evening we'll do a healing night, a healing. So if you know sick people, afflicted people, tomorrow is the time. There is nothing wrong with the name of Jesus. And what we'll be doing in the practical session tomorrow are things that you should do in public places. Pray for people. Pray for people. Pray for sick people. Pray for people. In your closet, people will begin to come to you asking for prayer. People will be texting you. Can you find some time to pray with us? So a healing service, will hold a healing service tomorrow evening, and also we'll release the gift of healing. Part of what God has equipped us with is that He has given us the authority to be able to minister the gifts of the Spirit so that people can begin to function. The idea of this conference is apostolic. People are being equipped
and released to function. Equipped and released to function. So the Lord has given us authority, not just to equip people through the teaching of the Word of God, but also to release and to activate things on their lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are going to do a healing service, and then we'll release the gift of healing. And then the sending service is on Sunday morning. We can't describe it. It will be the way the Lord has ordained it. Once again, salute Pastor Luke. We got to know this program was supposed to hold, was it last year? All right, so that's when we met mysteriously. I just met him yesterday in the natural, but we've been talking, discussing. So he provided the platform. Can we salute Pastor Luke?